Hey, welcome to the February 2017 edition of The Bizarre Briefing. I'm Bryce Castillo, joined by, as always, with Brent Hughes.
Hey, that's me.
And Max Gillen.
That's me.
Gilliland.
Yeah, something like that. Something Scottish.
This is
Gillen.
Right. As a Castillo, I should have gotten that. This is our behind-the-scenes podcast about all things Bizarre Magic, things like Scam School and Modern Rogue and Scam Stuff and Scam School Remix and Night Attack and all the podcast stuff that Brian does. And, you know, we just give you a real honest look at the things that we don't know and our once-a-month attempts to get on the same page. Though we just had a big lunch meeting, which I think
we did.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about a few months ago, and I'm glad that we're keeping to it. We're not doing a monthly.
No, it looks like we're shooting for quarterly meetings.
Yeah,
which is in the middle of every quarter, we go to Rudy's and we chat it out.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a good one.
Yeah.
And this is where I would have segued into our fourth hands today, but unfortunately he was a little bit busy, tied up. I don't know the best way to approach this now that he's not here.
All right. Well, okay. So. We've been looking for some extra help.
Right.
We found some extra help. If you've been paying attention to the description of episodes of Scam School, then you would already know this, but literally nobody has ever seen anything below the fold in any description of any YouTube video ever made.
Ever.
There's a description?
What? See?
You need to show more.
But yeah, just recently we had a Scam School episode go up with that was edited by Jeff from Rage Select.
Yeah, Jeff Schuessler. Yeah. That was the 11 cent slide, the remake of the 11 cent slide puzzle. And that was great. Let's take it back further from that episode first.
Okay.
We're looking for more hands to do editing stuff because ideally we would like to do more Modern Rogues and more different types of video stuff. And the only way we can do more video stuff is if we have more people to do them, because our videos are kind of harder or more involved than say let's play stuff, which is, it's not a dig at him, but that you look at big channels on YouTube and they are like PewDiePie and Game Grumps and stuff right. where it's easier to do just on the technical side.
Sure. And so my schedule's totally filled up, so it's going twice weekly with Modern Rogue is like a pretty high priority for us. Right. But obviously, we want to do that right. We don't want to do like just garbage episodes.
Keep the quality intact,
right?
Yeah, and that takes time.
And to be honest, like, I think that you were the best person to do more Modern Rogue episodes because I feel like you still have like the most. I feel like out of all of us, you would have the most comfort steering that ship, just in terms of what the Modern Rogue still is, or is when there's a second episode a week or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is complicated by the fact that you also do Scam School and an ad and Scam School Remix every week. So the sooner that we can get Remix and the full Scam School episodes off your plate, the sooner we can get more Modern Rogues out.
Yeah. And Remix isn't that big of a deal. It's usually like 3 hours a week, but
sure. But it's something.
It's still,
but that usually ends up being my Sundays. Mm-hmm. And then, Scam School is the big one and ads are a big one. Cause those take up half my week.
Right.
So
not anymore.
Well,
sort of.
Soon, hopefully soon. Not
yes.
Anymore.
So right now we're kind of, for the past, however long it's been, we've been doing an alternating thing where, it's a Bryce week, it's Brant week, it's Bryce week, it's Brant week. And then typically the way that we do that is the week that we don't have to publish, we'll do the episode. And then the week that we do have to publish, we'll do the ad. And then we'll combine them all together and publish the whole thing as one product.
Right.
And so right now we're doing like a trade-off thing every 3 weeks with Jeff. But also this, like, we're like one episode in. So
right. It's very informal. And I don't imagine that will last very long because the episode that Jeff did, we gave him a very hard task with that episode on the technical side of that episode had, it was partly cloudy. So it was constantly shifting how bright it was. There's maybe 5 minutes of footage missing on one of those cameras. And it might have been some good footage on that one.
Yeah.
And
we're continuing that tradition with Jeff's next episode, where Brian's mic falls off at the end.
That's right. But I am. That's at the very end, and I bet it's fine. Brian's a loud talker.
It sounded pretty rough, but I think Jeff can
balance the
figure it out.
Yeah. Deal with the mics and get it in a sort of acceptable state. And it was only like the last 15 seconds of the episode or something like that.
Oh, that's
not too
something.
Bad.
That's something. Yeah. He probably
it sounds pretty bad, but yeah.
But I mean, what I mean is there's probably coverage of him saying the exact same thing during a B-roll or something.
Maybe.
I think there's.
We'll see.
These are workable. These are workable problems.
Sure. Worst case scenario, subtitles. I had to do that for our Scam School remix episode because the audio was so bad you couldn't understand what they were saying.
Really?
Jeez. Yes.
Wow. And like Brian's game to do ADR if we need to ADR one or two lines of something.
Sure.
So we've been talking to Jeff about seeing if he's able to take on Scam School. And I think it's great. You know, he has got an animation background and he's been doing Rage Select for years. I mean, basically since, was it Crack? Not Crack. Hollywood.com? Was that what it was? The thing
that sounds right.
That he was doing with,
Spill.
With Corey and them. The gaming side. He turned it into Rage Select. And so he's been doing a lot of Let's Play stuff, and I don't know. I would ask him what his plans were for that, but I think he's still going to be doing that sort of stuff still. But it's great. It's really great, and I think we could see more Modern Rogues, two Modern Rogues a week, like by next month's episode. I feel like we could have a date.
Hopefully.
I feel like we could have a date of like, this will be the week that we have two episodes from now on. The big challenge I see is like, that means we have to double Modern Rogue shooting, Modern Rogue shoots.
Sure.
Sure.
Which is,
I mean,
it's not the hard, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we tend to go pretty long stretches without shooting anything for Modern Rogue. So.
I think we're in one of those stretches. I don't know that historically we have the best habits about that. I mean, I guess...
we still have episodes from October that we haven't released.
Sure. But, I mean, that was...
Which is going up this week.
That's right.
Oh, good.
But I think it'll all be fine. I'm just, you know...
Yeah.
That's the thing is we'll basically have to double whatever we're doing now.
Yeah.
Effectively. Mm-hmm. But that'll be more Modern Rogue stuff, and I think people are really clamoring for it, which would be good because I think the Modern Rogue channel, for all its success, is also there's one thing on that channel a week, and I guess that's very like simple, but it might feel also a little bare.
Yeah,
I don't know.
At this breakneck speed of people watching videos, it's easy to forget. Oh right, there's still stuff here.
Well, I guess so. I don't know. This is where. If Brian was in the room, he would start talking about the algorithm and...
Let's not.
Math numbers things. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
So check that out. More information soon.
Yeah.
And we'll,
breaking news. In development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk with Jeff and get his whole stiz next month. He was busy. He was actually editing a Scam School episode, and he was kind of
at this very moment.
Yeah, that's right.
So hearts and prayers. Let's talk about something that also has really sort of solidified since the last episode, which is what's going on with the giveaways and the codes and stuff. Because I think over the past two episodes, we've been like, "Hey, there's going to be less giveaways," and then I think last month we probably said that there would be once a month. And so I think we've tweaked it even more. We found more tweaks.
Yeah.
Right. So it used to be that every week we would do a video that had a puzzle or a code hidden in it, right? And then we would have a normal giveaway, which could be anybody could enter, and then we'd have a second pool of entrants for another prize if they figured out the code or whatever the thing was that we were trying to get them to think of. But then, you know, we're trying the store in sort of a different gear. Is that probably a good way to describe it? Like we're trying to see, because last year was pretty breakneck for Scam stuff in the fact that we had dozens of releases last year of new products.
Sure.
Yeah.
And trying to see what the best pace for that is. Also, while Max is still getting acclimated to all of the store stuff that is just kind of up in the air still.
Yeah.
So that meant doing about a video a month, but then people still liked the codes and the giveaways and the puzzles and stuff. And as we're doing other stuff behind the scenes, doing those giveaway videos every week with less stuff to talk about is
problematic,
right? You're basically inventing reasons to fill up this video space, which is a negative for what behind the scam or whatever these giveaway things are in the first place. And it's probably the least effective way to do it if the huge thing about it is giveaways or a code.
Right.
Right.
So what we settled on, and this was with last month's video, we just came in and like figured it all. Like just, I think it was one of Brian's just wild ideas was like, hey, you know, we do these on Fridays anyway. What if we keep doing the codes and the giveaways in the comment section of the Modern Rogue, since those go up a Friday morning? We have them on like a limited time or you know, first X amount of people who get it or whatever.
Right.
And that way we're still doing those because the people who love the codes really dig them. Excuse me. And we put time and effort into making them, you know, challenging, while also using like actual cryptography, you know, ciphers and encoders and stuff. Hmm. So that's kind of what you're going to see right now is at least for this month, because I think when we talked about it, it was just, at least we're going to experiment and see, you know, what does and doesn't work, because we very much went into it like, well, let's just do it because,
right.
You know, any way to streamline that whole process. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that there will still be about a video once a month kind of checking in and maybe having a store release or something, and also kind of rounding up all of the puzzles from since the last video. In the meanwhile, we're trying to also promote discussion over on the Modern Rogue Reddit, mm-hmm. modernrogue.reddit.com,
yep.
About the codes and about the episodes. And I think it's at least spurred some discussion over there. Like, I feel like it was pretty empty before.
More or less.
And I feel like there's more activity, I feel like there's a little bit of activity now. Like, I feel like there's been a small but noticeable uptick in usage of the Reddit.
I gave Brian so much shit for how he spelled out the Reddit URL.
The last video.
Right.
No, it was Reddit. He said reddit.com/r/modernrogue.
I was like, that's such an old person way of saying that. Everybody knows it's modernrogue.reddit.com.
Yeah. Or at least say r/modernrogue. Like, not even.
Sure.
Don't even reddit.com. Yeah. People get it. I don't know. So that's kind of what that format is going to look like for now. And we'll have a new video. I think of the three puzzles we've done, we've only actually publicly given out one of the answers because we're still figuring all this out and because we kind of had to like let people know they were super duper wrong this past week.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is a very natural transition into what happened this past week on these giveaway things. It turns out that when you use a Google form, and one of the fields that you ask people for information, when you ask them for their, quote, password, Google doesn't like that.
What?
Google thinks that that's kind of a violation.
What?
Something about digital phishing.
Like, if you've ever used a Google form, it always says, like, right above the send button, like, never send your password through a Google form. So I think a robot, like a scraper robot, came by and saw it said password and flagged a few of the forms that had used the word password on it. But it meant by the time that we wanted to pick winners or get people to even still submit their answers, the form wouldn't work, wouldn't show up because it was blocked, basically. Google had locked us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we started a new form immediately, but then because because we had basically missed the, you know, the window of when the video went up, and, you know, 80% of the people at the time had seen it and, like, would have thought to submit anything, had passed. What we decided to do was we'd start a parallel giveaway that would run an extra couple of days, and we laid out this whole story on the Reddit so that people had an extra chance to get in, and we would offer more of the prize, which was the lockpick, the wallet lockpick set, which is a new stealth product. It's pretty cool. And so we went and we went to go look. I don't know how you did it, Max, right? Because you were saying that the Google form was still locked.
Yeah.
But you could still get the data out of it.
Correct.
I don't know how you did that.
I don't know either, but it works, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay. So looking between both data sets of that initial giveaway and this new giveaway, say somewhere between 200 and 300 people or so entering, and exactly one person got it right, and it may the puzzle really does make sense. I think what happened is, I think, okay, we'll talk about it. I feel like I can talk more openly about it here because nobody listens to this.
Okay,
but the correct answer was Zing, Z-I-N-G, which is an onomatopoeia. Okay. That's all I'll say about that, is just how to get to it. But the most popular answer by a wide margin, a very wide margin.
Two-thirds.
Was objection, which was incorrect. People saw what the message decoded to, and they saw law degree and battlefield and just thought, I don't know, Phoenix Wright or something. I'm going to type objection. And then another 100 people did that. So it's a mixture of, like, the people entering making these logical leaps and them not being the right logical leaps necessarily that we needed them to sort of figure out. One person got it though, and that person actually submitted it. He submitted his entry in the second form that we made on the first giveaway. So none of the people that we were waiting for to get their data from, and none of the people that we extended the deadline for, got it right.
It sounds. This reminds me a lot of DMing a Dungeons and Dragons game, where it's like, okay, I've set up this very elaborate puzzle for all of you, and then you just have to approach it in this very specific way, and all of these very cool things happen.
You suss it out,
and then they're just like, I don't know, I jump off the cliff. I'm like, that's not it.
No. I believe his name was Nathan. He'll get his lockpick set. Congratulations, Nathan. Everybody else?
The one.
Figure it out. I think we'll have explanations for the answers when we do the next video. But
probably be good.
Because when we started doing the discussions about the codes in Reddit, the very first week, I got a lot of very helpful information just in terms of, like, how other people were solving the codes and what I could do to make them more challenging, right? Mm-hmm. So I found out that most people who were trying to solve our basic codes were not even, like, trying to decipher them with, like, the basic two cryptological things that we do almost every time. Mm-hmm. They were treating them like cryptograms, like the things in, like, the you see in the newspapers, right? Where it's not – the code is not jumbled up in a mathematical sense. It's just random. And so they're using visual cues to, like, figure out what the letters are. So if it's an apostrophe something, oh, that might be an S or a T. Oh, this is a single letter. That might be an A or an I. You know, the first word is probably going to be agents and – something dot something dot something is probably gimme.scamstuffs.com, so that's like 10 letters right there.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting. That was surprising to me because I can encode. There's a weird imbalance because I can encode the messages very quickly because there are just tools that do it.
Yeah.
But then people willingly go the hard way to solve it. And I'm sure it's fun, right? I mean, there are reasons people do cryptograms, but I was just surprised that that's the way that people did it. So I've taken some of the advice from that initial discussion to try and make them harder, because the one thing we always heard every week was like, oh, these are too easy. And so now that we're focusing on codes and stuff, we're trying to make them a little harder. So that's all to say, get good.
Get good.
Do your research.
Yeah, I haven't really kept up too much with the codes, but they seem neat for people who are into that.
Yeah,
and
deal.
You know, for as much as people are doing, you know, brute forcing their way through solving them, like, we're using legitimate cryptological methods, like, nothing fancy, right? We're not using you know, SHA 256 encoding and hashes and junk, but like, we're using real techniques, and we've spent the past year, you know, doing them and explaining them. So I think there's some value in there, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for more of those. Get good casual, and we'll see you next Friday. Brant.
GG no re.
GG. Brant, you're I've noticed you've popped up on the Scam Stuff channel, youtube.com/scamstuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Two edit sessions. Mm-hmm. One of you editing a Scam School and one of you editing a Scam School remix.
Yeah.
How was that?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
those are things that sometimes I stream out to Twitch. Mm-hmm. One of these recordings I did not stream out. One of them I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, you know, I used to do this a lot back when I was editing on my laptop. I would stream out this kind of stuff a lot and archive it on my personal YouTube channel.
Right.
And then I thought, you know, like, the Scam Stuff channel could use a couple things, and I think these can be really informative for other creators and just for general viewers of the show.
Yeah.
Just to see what kind of work goes into it, because I think a lot of people just don't even think about the process of putting together an episode. They just see, oh, there's an episode, and that's here it is. Mm-hmm. And so to see, like, oh yeah, it's this whole thing, and there's 50 minutes of footage from 3 to 4 cameras, and I have to go through all that. I have to go through all the audio. I have to cut it up. I have to do a billion different things to it. I think it's not the kind of thing that I want to do regularly, but I think it's the kind of thing that is nice to have up there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking about putting up a Modern Rogue edit at some point.
Oh, that's interesting.
That'd be fun.
As well. So that way we'd have Scam School Remix and Modern Rogue all covered.
Yeah. Do you think comparatively Modern Rogue is a longer edit process than Scam School? Because it is more freeform a little bit?
So I would say, generally speaking, yes, but not if you include also the ad for Scam School.
Yeah.
Right.
But just the episodes themselves, yeah, Modern Rogue takes longer because Scam School, the actual episode process for me is just very mechanical and very just like muscle memory at this point. It's just like, yeah, I've cut this episode together already like 5 times in the past. So it's just another one of those. Modern Rogue is definitely its own beast, and there's also like fact checking with the Modern Rogue and stuff like that, which definitely not doing with Scam School.
Right. You would think they would fact check before the episode, but I mean, Jason goes and does research, but
yeah. And there's also a lot of stuff where it's like, you know, they'll offhandedly say something, and I have to sit there and go, whoa. What are people going to say in the comments about them saying this? Mm-hmm. So like this past week we had an episode where you light up the flint, which is not actually flint.
It's graphite.
Well, no.
Is it not graphite?
No. So they light up the flint, they throw it down, and it makes a quote unquote flashbang, except there's no bang. It's just a flash. And it's not as bright as a flashbang. Yeah, I get it.
Mini flash. It's fine.
Mini flashbang.
Yeah, but yeah. So Jason said it's like a lead in a pencil or whatever, and I was like, oh well, I can hear people already going, actually, it's not lead. Anytime I can hear somebody like pushing up their glasses and going, actually, I have to go, okay, there needs to be something on here. Just to head that off a little bit and be like, yeah, I know, you don't have to say anything,
right?
And so I went up and I looked, what are modern day pencil leads made out of and stuff
they're
like
not
that.
Lead. They're,
yeah. And it's like, yeah, they're still technically called lead. The pencil lead is like the etymological term for that thing.
Yeah. Right. What if it's become pencil lead?
Ooh.
And that's like, we're all doing it wrong. Because obviously it's not lead in pencils.
Mm.
But it's still...
Which one, the element? Plebeium? PB.
It wouldn't be the first time Americans bastardize pronunciations.
Probably not.
Of any given number of words.
Yeah. Language change.
Yeah.
Awful.
But yeah, but also like a lot of people got onto us because like actually it's not Flint. It's this composite. And it's like, okay, sure. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is marketed as Flint. If you want to go buy those, you look up lighter flints.
Yeah.
You know.
Can I get some combustion ignitions? What do you want, kid? Combustion ignition compounds?
But, I mean, all that said, I do still appreciate people who are like, well, like, you're not wrong, but I hate to be this guy. Here's a bunch of information about lighter flints that you probably didn't need, but, like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Okay.
As long as it comes from a place of respect.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so edit sessions are good.
Yeah.
Great. No. Is what I'm saying.
And I'm glad that you're, I don't know. Do you like doing the, like, what is on top of like actually editing, you know, say this episode of Scam School, are you recording all of this in real time too, including like your voiceover?
Yes.
Do you feel like that changes your process?
Yes. Yeah. Especially if it's live streamed.
Oh, sure.
Because if it's live streamed, obviously you're talking to people, and that's a whole thing.
Mm. You don't swear at us as much.
I mean,
on the internet, I assume.
Well,
I mean,
well,
not my problem.
And then, and it's just a thing of, you know, when I'm recording the process, I tend to explain things a lot more than I would to myself.
Sure.
Right. And I tend to kind of walk through things and go, oh, here's a cool thing that I never got the chance to show anybody. Let me go through this. So there's certain elements of that. It is kind of tough sometimes just to be like spontaneously creative, which I've always had a hard time doing with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like back when I was like, oh, I'm going to do photography and stuff. Like I did a lot of stuff where it's like, I could do photography and literally nobody on the planet can see me doing my photography because that just lets me get in that creative mind space a little bit easier.
Right.
And so recording that stuff kind of shines the spotlight on me in a way that's sort of hard to do things. Mm. The big example I always had was, in the Millwall Brick episode, there's a moment where a bunch of text comes up on screen and it says Millwall Brick and it's like, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's a moment that I feel like we should have in this episode. But I spent like 30, 45 minutes just trying to figure out how, like, what's a good way to approach this on the stream. And it's like, it's a totally unnecessary moment.
Graphic, yeah.
And it lasts for like 3 to 5 seconds. But I think that was a day where I went, okay, I'm just going to turn off the stream and I'm going to figure this out on my own. And then I did. And then it all just kind of came together.
Cool.
Nice. But yeah, it's definitely a whole different thing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for like putting those up. I think they're really good behind the scenes things for what I think like the Scam Stuff channel is very much a behind the scenes sort of channel or purpose, you know? And I'm glad I'm glad that is something that you're putting the effort into.
Yeah, I was also thinking about doing another shoot day episode or whatever for Modern Rogue.
Cool. Yeah.
To kind of follow our process, especially maybe one that we do in the warehouse or something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I'll pair up an edit session with one of those episodes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be nice.
That would make... Because you included the edit for that last Modern Rogue, but you, like, sped it up, right? You did commentary after the fact.
Yeah, I was just like, here's some broad strokes of what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
Definitely. RR in the chat says, but more Let's Plays for Gatawag.
I mean, there are plenty on my personal channel.
Yeah. Well, so
I want to see some Hitman, some Rocket League.
So this is kind of an interesting thing because we're doing more Twitch stuff, and you know, we recently moved all of the podcasts. Oh, I guess this was since last episode. We've moved Cord Killers and Weird Things off of their own Twitch channel, and we're just doing them all on the Night Attack channel.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. To kind of like fill out, it would be easier for us to just fill out one channel than to have like a million different passwords and channels, and it's just easier to get to focus on one place at least.
Although I have to say, this is another step in proliferating the just call everything Night Attack. God. Just like everything's called Night Attack. Hey, you got a comedy album, call it Night Attack. Ah, you got a show, just call it Night Attack. It's all the same thing.
Okay. I think that it is a... I refuse to believe that it is a slippery slope, which is what I think you're arguing here.
I don't know.
In any case.
Brian's going to come back and like, hey, we got the company together. Everybody's employees. Welcome to Night Attack LLC.
It's already
legally changed my name to Night Attack. Night Allen Attack. That is my name now.
Yeah. So Max Robot saying Weird Attack and Court Attack and The Morning Attack.
Sure, nice, sure.
Yeah. Daily Night Attack, a tech news show.
Sure.
But that's all to say. It's just in terms of Twitch and in terms of like people on Twitch, which is the whole point of doing Twitch stuff, is to like reach out to and find new people through there. And even though the talk shows thing is new, it's also not like there is still like a paradigm of the people who are on Twitch of like they expect to follow a channel and not a show, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And so I feel like it's just easier to do this. And so in like spirit of that, like I've been taking like one or two nights a week on the Night Attack channel to like stream games or do social eating stuff or like not attacks, you know, fun, you know, trying to do more community stuff and continue to use that channel, because right now all the podcasting we would do on that channel happens 2 days a week on Monday and Tuesday, right? And this show now is now instead of Monday on Tuesday. I guess we should have mentioned that at the top of the show. Hey, this is not on the last Monday of the month anymore. It's on the last Tuesday
of the month. Yeah. Whatever.
If they're not here now, do you think they're really...
That would be the problem.
Did they show up yesterday, Bryce? Are they not following us on Twitter and they showed up yesterday?
Good point.
I mean, it's possible.
Fine. It's possible, right?
Yeah.
So if they showed up, they would have just seen the rock block anyway.
Yeah.
Where there's a million shows happening at once. Striker Rich says that we could call this the Bizarre Attack now. That's like an okay name, though.
Ooh, well.
So, anyway. In any case, so I've been doing like Friday and Saturday or Saturday night slot. Like, I feel like that's a time slot, and I've taken it. Hmm. Like this past weekend, I did Friday and Saturday night playing Night in the Woods, and doing all the voices, sure. Which is
taxing,
but that's fun.
Taxing, yeah. It's not as bad as doing the visual novel stuff that I was doing on my own channel years ago, which is all dialogue, right? At least Night in the Woods has like moments that are just platforming for 10 or 15 minutes, and you don't have to like be doing a million voices. But that was fun, and that's the sort of thing where like they're like, I don't know, I feel like we've had little in jokes sprout out of like that stream, and this all culminated in me making a 10-hour video of a bit from that stream and from that game. And I think that 10 hours is very important, and I think you should go see that. I won't spoil it.
Powerful.
But it's
captivating.
It's moving. And you'll find it at youtube.com/neshcom. It's important, and I think everybody needs to at least take a look at it.
After that, they can watch the 10 hours of Brian sitting in the rain video that I made 2 years ago.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's Brian sitting in the rain for 10 hours.
It's looped, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live. But part of me was like, if Brian had a wild hair about it, though, he would have...
I could see Brian doing that.
Because Brian has had wild hairs, which is like, let's make a movie. Right, just want to make a movie.
It'd be tough to shoot 10 hours continuous, though.
It would be.
You'd probably have to do like two cameras and then alternate between them and then card stagger slots. The cards.
Yeah. Though I wonder if you shot at a low enough bitrate and a low enough resolution.
Like 480p.
Well, even like 1080, like a lower bitrate 1080 and a large enough card. I mean, they make big SD cards now.
We had to get a pretty big SD card, but
they make pretty big SD cards.
Sure.
I don't know.
It's a lot of work for a joke.
But Brian would be into it for like 2 days.
He would be into it until the card arrived.
That's right. Hey, Brian, you just seen those clouds in the sky. I got this Amazon package. You want to just, do this rain thing? Hmm. So in any case, this is all to lead it back to what we were talking about. If you were interested, like, I feel like the Night Attack channel has, like, slots. If you're interested for something like that. Because I feel like that is... also like I feel like that's an applicable thing for that channel, right?
Yeah, you could.
Like doing edits of Scam School or Modern Rogue, right?
Just stream it, yeah.
This is all to say.
Hypothetically.
Sure.
Here is something on a platter. In any case. So that's that. I think we talked about this last week or maybe the week after, but I have been doing social eating on the Night Attack pre-shows and on the Night Attack channel. Max.
So I don't know what social eating is, so you're going to have to clue me in here.
So we did talk about it a little bit, I think, last month, but social eating is a thing out of South Korea called mukbang.
Okay.
And it's a streaming... Don't make that face, Brant. This is not...
I want to gauge your reaction and see like how normal or not this might be.
part of me is like, well, I'm detached enough from this, but I also apparently do it twice a week now, so who knows?
Oh well.
But it's a type of live stream where you are eating food and talking to your chat room. So it's basically like having dinner with your chat room.
Interesting.
And so I've done I've made food, and we've done wacky snacks and stuff lately. I had a very fun time with seaweed on the last Night Attack pre-show and gagged and almost threw up at this desk. So nice.
That sounds rougher than the scorpions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The scorpions went down easy. Like, seaweed has bad mouth feel. On its own, it has bad mouth feel.
Not if you dry it.
How would you compare it to shredded lettuce?
Worse, but in the same vein of bad mouth feel.
Okay.
So put it on a burger and there's no problem.
And when we're talking about shredded lettuce, I mean thin shredded Taco Bell lettuce, very specifically. Yeah. No, on the top. Okay, hold on. On the topic of Taco Bell lettuce.
Okay.
Have you had their new naked chicken chalupa?
No.
It's the taco where the shell is white meat chicken.
I'm ashamed
just to say
enough to not eat it.
It's pretty great.
It's good. It's good. It tastes like a chicken sandwich. First off, it tastes like a chicken sandwich.
Aren't they discontinuing it already?
In some stores, they've discontinued. They're killing people, I went out and got one today. Is what I'll say. I didn't eat it because I got other stuff and I saved it.
So you just got it for fun.
I saved it. I saved it. That was my breakfast. I thought I would be hungrier. But the shredded lettuce on that tastes good because there's no grease on it. So there's a grease element to the shredded lettuce that you get from like tacos, just like the plain soft tacos. I've thought this out a lot.
No, I can see.
Makes
sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I follow.
I'll take you on your word.
Okay. So I received a new package today, and we'll have the first. I'll check out the Night Attack pre-show if you want to see what I actually am eating, but. In the package, I noticed one thing and was very surprised at it, partially because of what it was, but also because of how much it actually was something that I needed.
Okay.
In my kitchen. Big Jim sent me a package, and he sent me along with a bunch of other snacks and goodies, he sent me Mama DeSalvo's authentic Italian sauce.
Hey.
Nice.
It's just a big jug of tomato sauce.
You know, awesome. As much as I'm not a fan of sauce, like tomato-based sauce products.
One of the better ones.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we were tweeting back and forth because the mailroom, he put the wrong apartment number on it, and so they gave it to that apartment because they were getting another package that day also and had already picked it up. Anyway, he's like, oh, yeah, the sauce is for Bonnie. But I needed sauce. I want Mama DeSalvo's authentic Italian sauce.
We can just cut this out of the podcast. Nobody has to know.
and so he the reason he sent it for Bonnie is because it has no peanut products in it.
Oh.
And so
allergy safe.
Yeah. Though it does contain soybean oil. Soybeans are like peanuts, right? They don't need this.
I don't know.
Hmm. Big oversight.
Yeah. So social eating is apparently become a very large part of my personality, like my presence on the internet apparently has become social eating based.
To me, social eating always reads as like a more socially acceptable like alternate reality vaping. Like I feel like there's I feel like there's a...
No, you're going to need to explain that to me.
I feel like there's a certain, like, shared culture of, like, this weird thing that people get super into that I just...
Sure.
I just don't understand.
Shame. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's just that's just outsider culture. That's not a thing. You're just describing a thing that is obvious.
I'm pretty sure you're just vaping. Like, get your social eating rigs and...
Sure. Jack up the ohms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, boy. Sergeant Muffin says, Gadawag, I'm with you. Come on, Sergeant Muffin.
These are just true facts, Bryce.
They're not... Social eating is not vaping. That's not a fact. You can't...
So is there social vaping? Objective is that saying, like...
So it's a fact. That's just... that's reality, Bryce. I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
All right, okay. Let's talk about ads.
Oh, yeah.
Brant.
Why not?
Sure.
It sounded like you were going to make an ad on something.
Yeah, I was going to shoot an ad right before this, actually.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. So I was going to make an ad based off of Get Out.
Mm-hmm. The movie Get Out.
In theaters now.
So good.
It's a very good film.
Yeah. It's amazing.
We won't spoil anything here.
Okay.
So safe territory.
Yeah, I don't need to dig up the spoiler in graphic.
Right. But if you've seen the poster, you know that the protagonist has like tears running down his face.
Right.
I was gonna do an ad based off of the scene where that happens, which is a very good scene.
That's a very good scene, and that
And you could kind of see like where I could take that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, and I really pride myself on being able to like have like super quick turnaround on something like this. Like our Stranger Things ad came out 2 to 3 days after the season was released.
That was awesome.
And so I had seen the whole thing and I was like, okay, I know exactly how to approach this.
And that was kind of a longer, more complicated ad too.
Yeah. And that went up before, like most people didn't even have a chance to watch most of that by the time that ad came out. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about doing the same thing because Get Out just came out this past week on Friday or Thursday or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that'd be so good. And unfortunately, I kind of came to the point of like I don't want to put it out, and it's such a good scene that I don't want somebody who
you
has
don't spoil it.
I don't want somebody who has cursory knowledge of Get Out to watch through it and then not until the end of the ad realize this is Get Out and you just spoiled the scene for me.
Wow.
And also I don't want to say at the beginning of the ad, hey, there are Get Out spoilers.
Don't watch this advertisement. Yeah,
and then everybody's like, all right, I'll just skip it all. That's fine.
Man, yeah, so, that's a real tough wang.
Yeah.
Because that's a scene I can imagine you're doing that scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's very visual and it's cool and
yeah.
We've done some stuff like a little bit like it, but yeah. And also, I was definitely gonna try to replicate the tears running down thing.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna like find like some tubes of water and then like have them drip down and then like mask out the top and then have the top be just like a clean slate of
that'd
me.
That'd be weird. Yeah,
and then so it'd just be like tons of water running down my face. Maybe some other
time.
Maybe
in a few weeks. Yeah. But, I feel like God. Okay, can we just talk about how good Get Out is though? Get Out's like amazing.
Sure. In a totally spoiler free.
Totally spoiler
free. It's really great.
It's amazing.
It's really
aware of it. And
it does a tremendous job of portraying a certain element of fear and paranoia in the Black community that is very rarely represented.
Yeah.
And sure. And it's represented in a way that even if you have no experience with what it's trying to express, you can totally like understand and empathize and relate with it.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And as somebody who has a little bit of paranoia and a lot of anxiety around people, I can relate to at least the first half of it with personal experience. Sure.
Yeah. God, it's just, oh, it's so good. I think the guys are going to spoiler in time it next Monday.
Okay.
So check out chordkillers.com, subscribe. Because it's great. Up until like a few days ago, it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And now it only has one negative review. And the guy that the negative review is from was kicked off of Rotten Tomatoes because he was, you can't tell somebody their opinion is wrong. But this guy was, my sense of it is that he was posting very contradictory reviews to things so that he would show up higher on Rotten Tomatoes. Because when you go to Rotten Tomatoes, right, like there's 140 reviews for Get Out, and his shows up because it's the only negative one.
Right.
And I think that algorithm is like, hey, let's mix it up. And so like he just like was kicked off the service for a long time.
Nice.
But aside from his dumb review, he
should be 100.
It should be 100. It's 100 asterisk. I'm going to give it 100 asterisk.
I'm not a big fan of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's skewed in a way, right? Because you get a positive vote if somebody's like higher than 50% feeling on it or you know, it counts down if they're less than 50% feeling on it. And then it's just like, I don't know, it's just a weird distillation of opinion that doesn't allow any kind of nuance. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like it's a weird metric.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Metacritic kind of has a similar issue, sort of.
Grain of salt, yeah.
Though game reviews are more, like, numerical, like, have wider point systems, generally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
GGG asks, scary? It's kind of a little bit more tense, but there is some scare stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people have asked me, like, about jump scares and gore, and it has a handful of all of that.
Yeah.
But it's not Saw.
Right.
You know, it's not Funny Games. Well, no, it's more like Funny Games because Funny Games is all about tension. In any case, it's fantastic. It's really fantastic, I think. I walked out of it and here's how good that movie was. The draft house where I was at, they, you know how they pass out your receipts or they do last call before, you know, a certain point in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when the movie was over, they did not have anybody's checks out in the theater. And it was like 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that was infuriating because that's the one thing they're supposed to do is have that stuff done by the time the movie's over. And regardless of all of that, of like, because no one was like, hey, just sit in your seats, we'll come and get your checks out. It was just like everybody looking around and being like, oh, did you get your? And I almost walked out. I was almost just like, I'm not going to wait. You swiped my card already, so you shouldn't get a tip, but I'm sure you'll give yourself a tip anyway. In any case, I still like was blown away after all of that.
Sure.
Like it's really fantastic.
I sat next to some real jokers.
Really?
In the draft house, which you don't get. It was like,
were they disruptive? Did you raise a card for a manager?
Well, so it was infuriating because they weren't bad enough that I felt good about raising a card.
Really?
So it was like,
Was it whispering? Is that what it was?
So there was a group to the left of me who it was their first time there, and there was a little bit of whispering, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then there was a group to the right of me, and they both seemed to kind of like laugh just a little too long. Like there's a scene where there's a moment that's played up for laughs, yep. And then because of how it's portrayed, like the longer the scene goes on, like the more serious and dour it sort of turns.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they just kind of kept laughing, and I was just like,
I understand. I feel that now ruining
the tone just a little bit, and then. Also, just a little bit of talking, and it's like, if I raise a card, I'm an asshole enjoying the movie.
Sure.
But man, I don't like you that much.
It was funny because by the end, I went and saw it by myself, and by the end of it, I was realizing how vocal I was being, just in terms of reacting and laughing or like. Gasping or responding to whatever was happening on screen.
Right.
And there would be little lulls of like, oh, am I? I mean, other people are reacting too. Right. But man, that's a good movie. And I think you did make the right call by not.
Yeah.
Right.
Calling a manager to.
I mean, I've dealt with a lot worse in normal movie theaters.
Sure.
It wasn't that bad. But it was really frustrating because I was like, if you guys would just be more annoying, I could actually do something about this.
But it was our first, or at least one of those groups was their first time.
Yeah.
So it's like.
You got to teach them a lesson. When they come back, they know.
No, they learn.
They know.
They learn by example. They learn. They're like dogs. They learn by example.
Yeah. Positive reinforcement.
Sure. Yeah.
Give them a treat when they're quiet.
Yeah,
and then ignore them when they're talking.
Though positive reinforcement would also be the psychological positive reinforcement would be calling a manager on them when they're talking to teach them a lesson.
Or if they're not talking, call a manager and tell them, you're doing a great job. You're doing great.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last couple of things. The Bizarre Briefing is the sort of show that doesn't always come. Of all of the shows that we touch, Bizarre Briefing is the one that has the most lax release. So you could be hearing this.
Yeah.
You could be hearing this in April. I don't know. No, you'll probably be hearing this. You actually might be hearing this in time because I don't have an episode of Scam School this week.
Nice.
But we are doing a Scam School shoot this Thursday. At 2:00, and then it'll be going until question marks at the Rusty Mule here in Austin, Texas, the very far outer limits of Austin, Texas. But
still counts.
If you're around, check it out. We're going to try to shoot a lot of Scam Schools to get stuff banked because of more behind the scenes stuff that could pop off at literally any minute. In the meantime, we also should talk about South by Southwest, which is coming up. I guess what we'll talk about is that we're not confirmed or booked anywhere yet.
Nice.
Whoops. But we're also we are looking to do it on the 11th, March 11th. That's a Saturday at the Brew Exchange, which is where we did it last year, in the afternoon. So I'm not going to say that is when and where it's going to be. Because I haven't heard back from them, and I would like to think we left a good impression last year, but then I do remember that we did sriracha facials.
Oh God!
And
it's a real liability.
Yeah. So who knows? But that's the day and time that we're looking at. So, we always do the first weekend of South by Southwest, which is what the 11th is. Mm. It's during Interactive, so just like you got good odds,
right?
Historically, you got good odds.
And probably filming Night Attack during then?
Right, yeah. Yes. So that would be the live Night Attack. Sorry, that's the live Night Attack comedy podcast. I'm pretty sure we're going to have the Possum Posse again.
Great. Because
you can't have Austin Night Attack without Possum Posse. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to have Dual Core again.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be around. Also, I know the Jeep is around.
Mm.
Turquoise Jeep will be around. They have a show that night, so I don't think they can get wasted. But I think they'll be around, and I think they want to hang out. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Just saying. Anything else we want to talk about? I think we blasted through all of this stuff. Yeah, I think
doing good.
I think we expected to talk with Jeff a little bit.
Yeah.
Well,
because I think this is so far we are not
time.
We are not yet at an hour on this podcast for the first time.
Oh, really?
Maybe ever. what are you guys up to? I don't know. We can do a little bit of small talk. We always do a little small talk here.
Sure.
What's
Yeah, you know, I've been working.
How the edits going? Editing.
Yeah.
Things. Yeah.
You know, getting by. I had some client work this weekend. Kind of crunched up.
Working for some big names. Some big names you can't talk about. Right. I think.
I mean, probably. I didn't sign anything.
That's true.
But
yeah.
In due time.
Yeah. How are you doing, Max? I mean, you've been in the town for a couple months now.
Yeah.
Like, are
loving
you,
it here.
You settling in?
Yeah. No. Austin is fantastic. It's so great. Cool. Not used to the traffic yet. Even at rush hour, they go like 95.
Yeah, we do pretty fast rush hour.
I love it. It's
so are you driving during like rush hour time? Because like Brent and I don't really travel during rush hour, really, for
Which
work
is
stuff.
Smart.
I kind of just don't travel at all. I haven't been here in like 3 weeks.
That's true.
Brian's always like, you want to come over just before rush hour and have a meeting? It's like, well,
can we do it earlier than that?
Yeah. No, but no, I love it. It's good. Doing more stuff with the store, kind of warehousey, this and that.
Awesome.
Yeah. If anyone listening and your mystery box is something's wrong, let me know. Scam stuff store Gmail would be good. So, So.
Awesome.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I mentioned I played Night in the Woods. That's an interesting game.
Yeah, it looks good.
It was longer than I thought it would be, but it was also $20. So I guess that makes sense. But I think it's cool. And I'm going to play it again because I feel like that's a game, even when you go out of your way to try and find a lot of stuff, because there's a lot of like exploration and dialogue and just quirky charm, you still have to make choices. And I think those choices are exclusive. So you end up seeing different things every time. So
cool.
I might just do that offhand. But I did a long play basically of it. And those VODs are up on YouTube. They're on youtube.com/bbpediavideos. If you want to hear me do voices for all these characters, it was a lot of fun by the end of it. The dad started off as one thing, and then he ended up as New Yorker voice, and then he ended up as John Travolta New Yorker voice.
Okay.
The mom,
nothing wrong with
was
that.
John Stossel for pretty much the whole time.
Interesting choice.
Yeah,
I gotta watch this.
The neighbor ended up sounding like do you remember Ned from South Park, the guy who talk like this?
Oh, yeah, right.
It's kind of that.
That sounds like not a smart voice choice for somebody who's gonna have to do it for a long time. I don't know how much that character.
That character is very okay. Has very little. Oh, yeah, okay. No, it would have been weird. thankfully, I made the protagonist have my voice.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's the trick.
That's always.
Spoilers because it goes to the end of the game. There are some moments where like I really got into it, just like feeling these moments.
Right on.
There's some good moments in this game, and if you just want to listen to it, youtube.com/bbpediavideos.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up because we've got other things to do. Max.
Yo.
I've been seeing you tweet. I think it's pretty cool.
I've been tweeting. Yeah. Go follow me, Dada DJ Old Fashioned, on Twitter. Life, liberty, all those thoughts.
Yeah, don't pound on the table.
messing up the audio. It's what I do. I'm going to tweet that right now.
It's cool. Actually, you know, you tweeted something the other day. Call an old friend.
Oh, yeah. Go call an old friend.
I did that.
Did you do that? Was it awesome?
It was nice. It was very touching because his dog had just died.
Oh.
And it was very nice to like reconnect and like commiserate about that.
Good for you. Right on.
So that was fun. Fun's not the right word, but it's the first word I thought.
Good old time.
Yeah.
So that's at DJ Old Fashioned on Twitter.
That's cool. Me.
Brant, what's going on, man?
if you want to find me, go to the NoClip channel on YouTube and check out the latest NoClip doc about mysteries. And you can find me for about 15 seconds in that video.
15 seconds? Nice. Whoa. Yeah. Was that from the F1 meetup that they did?
No.
What do you...
So Danny put out a call to patrons, and he was like, hey, send me in stories about mysteries in video games or whatever that you might have.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, well, like, I don't have any of those. a lot of people were talking about, like, rumors, like, oh, if you in this game, if you go into this truck and you find this Pokemon over here. And,
sure, the Mew truck. Right.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And I'm like, well, I grew up having none of those experiences.
What, really? Oh, no. Man.
Yeah.
Urban like, Legends?
No.
Oh, what? Really?
None.
Peek-a-blue?
Zero. No.
What?
Like, I don't even know what you just said, honestly.
Really? Oh.
I mean, it sounds like a Pikachu thing.
But. Well, yeah, before the second generation came out, the TV show had Meryl on it, the water Pokemon.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it's a cute sort of mousy looking thing, so it was like, oh, that's Peek-a-blue.
Huh.
Or no, maybe there was an episode where there was a Pikachu who had blue pads on his cheeks. No, I just don't remember.
Anyway, yeah, so I had none of those. but I thought like, okay, well, what are some things I could contribute? I had three items.
Oh, wow.
One was Fez, which I think would be great for that, but I just didn't have enough to say about it, so I kind of pushed that to the back. Mm-hmm. The other one was GM Island in World of Warcraft. Which was a secret hidden island that all of the GMs could go to.
Oh,
and right. Some people like found their way to there and got like footage of it and stuff. And it's like, it's weird and like half built and stuff, but it's like a super bannable offense or whatever.
Getting there or?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just being there.
That's stupid.
Could get like your account suspended and stuff like that. I don't know if it's still there, but I remember that was like a big thing at the time.
Yeah.
But I ended up not doing that. Instead, I just went for, in Halo 3, there was this weird glitch where you can get two people into
is that the dumpster glitch?
A dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you have like rocket launchers, you can like jump and swing or something, and then the dumpster flies, and you can fly around the map in the dumpster.
Huh.
That was like a really fun glitch that people found. And then also I just remember that game having like, you know, all the skulls and a whole bunch of cool like multiplayer glitches and like weird jumping around so maps buggy. And stuff.
Yeah.
The game was a mess. The best way.
but yeah, it was amazing. And so I did a quick thing about that and I was like, well, he's probably not gonna use it. This is about a glitch. It's sort of mysterious, well, but like right. I'll send it in just in case. And
he used it.
Well, so the doc starts and it's a bunch of people talking about the rumors and stuff. Mm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, OK, mine's not in here because obviously it doesn't fit. That's fine. And then like 10 minutes in, it's broken up into chapters. And the second chapter is about glitches.
So
10 minutes in, it cuts to black and I hear my voice. And
that's awesome.
And then I show up and it's got footage of the glitch and everything. And I teared up a little bit.
That's
so cool.
That's great.
And then from there on out, it was all developers. So it was like Jim Crawford and the guy. Mm. So Frog Fractions and The Witness, the guy who made
Jonathan Blow.
John Blow. Yeah. And the guy who made Splunky.
Man.
So I was like,
that's video really cool. Games is Brant Hughes over here.
Yes. Which somebody it got posted to the Giant Bomb subreddit. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, he's wearing a Giant Bomb hat. And I was like, hey, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also
you had made a Giant Bomb video for This Is the Run too that was kind of spread around too.
Yeah.
Like you're blowing up.
Yep. And then Blender MF saw that on the Giant Bomb subreddit and he was like, oh man, I wish I had watched the video with it before I read the comments, because then that would have been a cool moment to see me. And then he mentioned how it was cool that I had NoClips, my Let's Play series.
Oh right.
And now I'm on NoClip.
On NoClip. That's great.
That's awesome, yeah.
Wow. Congrats, man.
Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't become the next big meme and leave us.
Oh, boy.
That's for another time, though.
But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Gadwag, GATOWAG. Also, Instagram, Twitch, and some other places probably.
Yeah. Search him down. Online stalk him.
don't do that.
Don't do that. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Brycas, BRYCS. I stream on the Night Attack channel sometimes too, on Fridays or Saturday nights. I announce it on Twitch, on Twitter though, so just follow me there. This show, you can find us at bizarrebriefing.com. God damn it. I need it. Almost. One, I got it right. Okay, it's bizarrebriefing. It's the. I just am not sure about the.
No, it's no the.
You can find us at bizarrebriefing.com to subscribe, get the YouTube, RSS, old episodes, Twitters, and all the other good things. If you want to watch us on YouTube, it's youtube.com/scamstuff. We do this show once a month on the last Tuesday of the month now because Weird Things has taken over the Monday daytime slot.
Yeah, 5:30 p.m. Central.
Yeah. Or follow our Twitters. We'll kind of announce it ahead of time.
Eventually.
And with that, it's been the Bizarre Briefing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.